Leviticus chapter 3, the entire chapter. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or a female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat thereof and the whole rump, it shall he take off, part of the backbone, and the fat that covers the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire, for a sweet savor. All the fat shall be the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that ye eat neither fat nor blood. Amen. It is a great joy today to preach on the peace offerings brought before us in Leviticus chapter 3. I must say, when I started the preaching through the book of Leviticus, I at times wondered, how am I going to handle this and what will it be like? But I have to say, this is a very joyful, wonderful chapter when you see what it means. One of the, if I could say it, the happiest in all of Scripture. These peace offerings speak of the greatest blessing any man or woman could ever know. That is wonderful peace with God. They take us to Romans 5:1, wherefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. They take us to Philippians 4:7. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And prophetically, I believe it's spoken of in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4, as some of the old commentators suggested. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Today we're going to look at 4 points from Leviticus chapter 3. First, the order of the offering in Leviticus. Second, the significance of the peace offerings, because it's usually in the plural. Third, the details of the peace offerings. Fourth, the result of the peace offerings, which is why I would compare Leviticus 3 to the whole book of Philippians, both so ringing with the on account of joy, and that matters, a joy that is full of glory that will never disappoint you. First, the order of the offerings. For that I mean Leviticus 1, Leviticus 2, Leviticus 3. Leviticus 1, it's the burnt offering. That speaks of sacrifice of a substitute in our place, sacrificial death. Chapter 2 of Leviticus brings to us the meal or the grain offerings. And that speaks to us of a substitutionary holy life that someone else lived for us. And then, on the basis of a sacrificial death of a holy life, we come in chapter 3 to the peace offerings. That's what they lead to. Eternal fellowship with God, for which the world was made and each one of us was created. You say, sometime young people, why was I ever made? The answer, God created you to be in fellowship with Himself. Whatever else you accomplish in your life, and you may accomplish many things, I hope, the true goal of your life, indeed the only way any of us can ever find lasting joy and real satisfaction, that goal for which we were created, is to be in fellowship with God. Now, chapter 1 of Leviticus, the burnt offering, shows us that we cannot come in fellowship with God till our sins are put away by a sacrificial death on our behalf. Chapter 2 of Leviticus shows us that we cannot come into fellowship with God, this wonderful peace and joy and love, until a holy life has been lived that totally keeps all of God's requirements from the heart. And Jesus did that for us. Then, this morning, we come to chapter 3, where we are in the blessed position, happy position. I want to bring out what a happy thing Christianity is. If there's any way I can get it across, I feel it. I don't know if I can get it across. I'm going to try to. The blessed or happy position of real life, abundant life, eternal life, peace with God. We find the same order of the offerings in the prophecy of Amos. Amos chapter 5:22, the exact same offering, order of offerings that you God in Leviticus 1, 2, and 3. Here it is, Amos 5, 22. Though ye offer me burnt offerings, Leviticus 1, meal offerings, that's Leviticus 2, I will not accept them. He means his heart's not right. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. That's Leviticus 3. Amos is saying that they thought that just by going through an outward ritual, that some people go to church and go through a ritual and heart's not touched, God pleased. No, no, no. It's got to be, your religion's got to be real, and then it works. Similarly, in this order of the various offerings of Leviticus is reflected in Psalm 116, 16 and 17. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's the peace offering. And will call upon the name of the Lord. So that's the order of the offerings in Leviticus and elsewhere. Secondly, the significance of the peace offerings. That's throughout chapter 3. These peace offerings show Christ's perfect obedience, his perfect offering of himself on our behalf to God. He did it for me. He did it for me. The Apostle Paul says Christ loved me and gave himself for me. And we're looking at how he stands in for us. He did everything that was needed to bring about reconciliation between a holy God and sinful people. He lived a devout life, one of perfect loving obedience to his heavenly Father. He kept the holy law in all its detail, enthusiastically so, honoring his Father, magnifying the law with his whole being. He said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And Jesus is doing it for us. Old Testament says, this do and thou shalt live. Well, Jesus did it for us, and therefore we live. Some of you might remember an old verse, old hymn, upon a death I did not die, upon a life I did not live. Another's life, another's death, I place my whole eternity. A life I did not live, a death I did not die. That's where I stand for an eternity of bliss and joy. Now, third, the details of the peace offerings. That's particularly Leviticus 3, 1 to 5. I want to mention five matters. The offering had to be spotless. Second, hands had to be laid on it by the worshiper. Third, it had to be offered at the door of the tabernacle. Fourth, the best parts of the life had to be cut out and put on the altar. And fifth, it had to be taken into the fire. And these five details help us get into what the peace offerings really mean and what it could be in our lives if we appropriated them. First, the sacrificial animal had to be spotless, without blemish. Interestingly, some offerings just have to be a male, but this one It could be male, it could be female, it could be different types of animals, so that people who didn't have as much money could still afford to bring some kind of cheaper animal and it was fine, except for one thing. It had to be a spotless animal without blemish, as verse 1 makes it clear. This spotlessness, no doubt, points to the perfection of the Lamb of God, who, according to the book of Hebrews, was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Song of Solomon, I've already mentioned this morning, speaks prophetically of Jesus, the Lamb of God, as the altogether lovely one. You know, some hymns have been written about that. Lily of the valley, rose of Sharon, bright and morning star, chiefest of 10,000 of my soul, yea, he is altogether lovely. That's how the Father was looking on his Son, when the Son was doing everything that was necessary to be mine and your peace. He's spotless. Second, the worshipers that wanted to identify with this offering, wanted to count for them, had to come there and lay their hands on the head of the lamb or whatever it was. Lay their hands on the peace offering before it was slain, divided up, and part of it put in the fire, and part eaten. Laying the hands on the animal was a visible way of manifesting total identification by faith with him whose holy life is offered up to the Father in our place. We're saying, he's mine, I'm his, I'm identified with him. What he does, let it be mine. If you're pleased with what he's doing, be pleased with me. I'm coming not in my name, but in his name. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die. That's how I'm coming. Isaiah 53:5 says, the chastisement of our peace, Hebrew shalom, was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Wonderful thing we're told in Ephesians 5:27, this marvelous passage about the church and the Christ's love for the church and a good human marriage reflecting at least a little bit Christ's love for the church. And these peace offerings, when we identify with them by faith, he, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, so pleasing to the Father, something happens to us. Ephesians 5:27 says it. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, and then this, not having spot or wrinkle, same expression, spotless, without wrinkle. The church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So the church, through faith, is given the attributes of the one who is always our peace offering. Then third, these peace offerings are to be offered in a certain place before the front door of the tabernacle, where the brazen altar that was highly visible was located. Significance of peace offerings being made before the front door of the tabernacle is to show us this. The only way to get into this wonderful peace of God is through identification with the Lamb, with Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit coming into us and uniting us to Christ in faith, uniting us to Christ in his holy life, his atoning death, his resurrection existence, making us one with him. And because of that, you see, Jesus can say to us what he said to Mary Magdalene on Easter Sunday morning in John 20, verse 17. Get this. This is where the peace offerings take you, get you into the tabernacle. Jesus said to Mary Magdalene in the garden, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Jesus gets us in, you see, into the Father's house of joy and peace. He is the door to all the blessings of God. And thus he says in John 10, I am the door of the sheep. Long ago, the brazen altar, front door of the tabernacle, the place where the peace offerings were made, shows us that. And then, for the fat and the kidneys, or sometimes called in the authorized version, the reins, R-E-I-N-S, plus the midriff, these are to be cut out of the sacrificial animal and offered up by the priest. Some of the rest of the meat could certainly be eaten by the priest and the people. It was a fellowship meal that they could eat. But the fat and the reins had to be offered up to the Lord on the altar. The fat and the reins represent the very richest part of the life. Fat, the most flavorful, the richest, the best. And the reins, or the kidneys, the ancient Hebrew, the way they looked at it, was that the kidneys or the reins were the seat of the emotions, the deepest emotions, love and joy and all that. We think of it as in the mind or the heart, but the ancient Hebrews, you particularly read this in the Psalms and Isaiah, they thought of the emotions as going down deep into the body and being located in the reins. So it's saying when you offer up the reins or the kidneys and the fat's the best, it's the richest part of life. And then the reins or the kidneys, it's what we truly are, our deepest emotions, how we're motivated, what we really think about God, what we really think about other people, what makes us tick. That's it. They're represented in the reins. And often in various places in the Old and New Testament, Jesus is prophetically spoken of this way, saying Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, and this prophetically speaking of Christ, because the epistle in Hebrews picks it up and quotes it, says it's Jesus. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. And so it's saying the sacrifices are nothing if God doesn't have the heart. But they can mean a great deal when the heart is empty. Jesus gave his heart to the Father. And it's spoken of another way in Psalm 22, you know, that he quoted on the cross, the first verse of it. But you go down in Psalm 22, verse 14, help us know what he's really going through. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels like the rain. Everything that Jesus was as a man and as a God-man, it was all being consumed out of devotion to the Father and bringing our sins in the costly way. before the Father. Isaiah 53:12 says, He hath poured out His soul unto death. The New Testament, Hebrews 9:14, He through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God. Jesus offered Himself. Kidneys, the rain, the fat, everything, the blood, and so forth. And then we notice the fifth little detail, or big detail really, about the peace offerings here in Leviticus 3:1-5. Is that the bits that are taken out, the fat and the kidneys and the midriff, they're offered up in the fire. Not the whole animal is burned in the fire. The holocaust, the burnt offering, all of that went to the fire. But this is only part of it, the best and the deepest part go in the fire, and then the congregation can share the food with the priest, the fellowship meal. The fire means, in Leviticus 3, it's perfectly clear that the priests kept the fire going all the time, the sons of Aaron, the Levites. And the fire represented the holy, burning purity of God's wrath against everything that is contrary to His character. So it's offered up in the fire. In the New Testament, though, what we've come in the name of Jesus to offer the Father is also in the fire, but it's a different aspect of the fire. It's the same holy fire of God, but a very different aspect. It is the fire of the love of God in which we bring what we are in Jesus and what He gives us to offer. And the fire, the love of God, heats us and melts us and transforms our lives in terms of Romans 5:5. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. And then fourth, the results of the peace offerings. That's especially Leviticus 3:6-17. To make it brief and to summarize it, the results of the peace offerings, you can find them summarized in Leviticus 3:5 and Leviticus 3:16. The entire peace offering is, quote, a sweet savor unto the Lord. It smells beautiful to God. God is well pleased. Indeed, He is delighted to smell such beautiful fragrance. It makes Him draw near and get close to it, smell it better, and embrace those out of whom the fragrance is coming and keep them near His heart. In other words, you can say the Christian life after the sacrificial death of the Lord, after His holy obedience on our behalf, and then there's peace with God. And the rest of our life is truly what Hebrews 13:15 calls a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15. By Him, for Christ. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, all the time. That fire on that brazen altar, the sons of Aaron kept it going all the time. The peace of God working all the time. And so whoever it was that wrote Hebrews is saying, by Christ let us offer the sacrifice of praise all the time. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Similarly, in Psalm 63, verse 5. Psalm 63, verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. So this peace offering is not all to be burned. Quite a lot of it was kept to be shared in a communal meal of the believers, the priests and the people who offered it. It's presented as a wonderful banquet, almost like a family reunion that we share with the Lord, a fellowship meeting. Leviticus 3:11 speaks of it as food. The fat goes to the Lord, the blood to be drained out. God's people are not allowed to eat blood because the life is in the blood. But the rest of it is to be consumed by the worshipers when they sit down to enjoy being with one another in the presence of God. It made me think of Psalm 23, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And no doubt this sacrificial meal of the peace offerings in Leviticus 3 are pointing way, way down the road, down the corridors of the centuries, to the Lord's Supper, where we remember Him and we meet Him, and He is our Passover, and we eat of His flesh and drink of His blood by faith. Now, let's draw together all of this. The sweet fragrance means God is delighted and God gets very close to you and draws you close to Himself, which is why I had it to say, near to the heart of God this morning. Getting close to God is the only way you and I will ever know the best treasure a human can have while he or she is in this world on this pilgrimage. The best thing you can know is the wondrous peace of God. I've already quoted Romans 5, verse 1. Wherefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We refer to Philippians 4, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And it was being, of course, prophetically predicted every time in the Old Testament, in Judaism, the Aaronic benediction was laid upon the children of Israel, namely Numbers 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You know how it is, if you're out with somebody, mad with somebody, or embarrassed, you won't look at them. You can't do it. It's painful. Look in their eyes. We've all had experiences like that. And what it's saying is that the peace offerings now, God looks in our eyes and we look in the eyes of God, especially in the face of Jesus Christ as we find Him in Scripture. And we have the smile of a reconciled God upon us, and He is pleased and He smells a sweetness and a fragrance in our life. that comes from Jesus. It is the peace of God that is above every amount of money, every earthly achievement. Nothing wrong with having some money. There's nothing wrong with some achievements. Well and good. Aim high. But nothing is like this wondrous peace of God filling you like an ocean of sweetness and purity and joy, establishing you, holding you up, no matter what. Now, this is what we're interesting. One aspect of the accounts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that when he met some of the saints who were faintly surprised to see him come back in his risen body, he, we're told, spoke peace to them. It's a wonderful Hebrew word, shalom, where the word Salem, Jerusalem, and even amongst the Jews in Holy Land, and I guess anywhere, I don't know for sure, but certainly in Holy Land, the greeting is shalom. We say hello and goodbye, and in Latin it's salve and vale and so forth and so on, but in Hebrew it's shalom. Shalom, it means peace, but it means a lot more than that. It encompasses almost every blessing you could want. Yes, there's an absence of conflict. Yes, you can look in their eyes. Yes, you see love in their face. And you perceive kindness and goodness going out in your direction. But there's a fragrance. There's a happiness. There's a well-being. Everything is just right. Shalom. And so when Jesus comes back from the dead Easter Sunday morning, he says in Luke 24:36, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Where do you find this peace of God I'm attempting to testify about? It is in company by faith with the risen one. He gives it to you. Peace be unto you. John 20:19-22, another resurrection appearance. And again, the main thing he's talking about is peace. John 20:19. Then the same day, being the first day of the week, Sunday, while we celebrate Christian Sabbath on Sunday rather than Saturday, first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, the risen one, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Peace, shalom. All is well. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Holes. It's the same body, but transformed. Holes in his hands and his side. He's not somebody. This is Jesus of Nazareth, risen now, alive forevermore. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. First effect of the peace of God is gladness. Gladness. Then said Jesus to them again, so they need to hear it twice, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And then Revelation 1:17-18, this beloved apostle John, the Isle of Patmos, and the glorious risen Christ comes down to the beach where he was and all the beauty of his power and his resurrection splendor. And Apostle John had once leaned on the bosom of this majestic Holy One, falls on his face to the dirt. Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And then look at the peace of God. Look at what the risen one does. We read in Leviticus 3, the worshipers put their hands on the altar, right? Now in Revelation 1:17, the risen one puts his hand on John. He come down and puts his hand on you. It's amazing change. We put a hand on the peace offering. I'm identifying with it. Then the one that's our peace offering comes and we're afraid and we're down flat. And he puts his hand on us. It's amazing, isn't it? And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Conclude with a little reading from Psalm 66, verse 13 and following. What it means to get in God's house. It's a tabernacle when this was written, but what it means now in the church, in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 66, 13 and following. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt offerings of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. And the peace offering showeth that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Are lifted up to God.